You are listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Michigan's primary election is 2 weeks from today, so we're bringing you a second round of conversation with the candidates for governor. Today, Democratic candidate Gretchen Whitmer. She served in the state legislature from 2001 to 2015, including 4 years as minority leader in Michigan's Senate. Welcome.
Thank you, Cynthia.
I was very struck by something I read, a response you gave to MLive's Emily Lawler when she asked, how would you run Michigan if you were elected governor? And you pointed to Republican William Milliken as your inspiration. Why was that?
Well, you know, I think that right now in an era where we've got so many politicians that are quick to demonize one another, demonize anyone who doesn't see the world the same way, we really have to get back to building bridges here in Michigan. And Bill Milliken was someone who I think had great leadership skills, worked with the legislature, worked right over him when he had to, but was a professional and an optimist and was not beholden to a party, but was beholden to the people of Michigan. And I think that's really important, and that's what I find so appealing about the work that he did as governor.
Now, whether this November brings a blue wave or not, many believe that the state Senate will remain in Republican hands, possibly because of the way the legislative districts maps are drawn. If you become governor, tell us, how would you work with a chamber that in all likelihood would try to stop your agenda?
Well, I think that it's crucial that we have got the ability to cross the aisle in order to get things done. When I was in the legislature, I was, you know, an ardent advocate for the real things when my values were on the line. But when I had the ability to cross the aisle, when it was time to put the votes together to expand Medicaid or anti-bullying protections for kids, I really worked very well with the Republicans, and I think that's something that's important. You know, I'm beholden to the people of our state, not to a campaign donor, not to a political party, but to the people of our state. I'm a proud Democrat, but I'm also a woman who is a mom and doesn't accept excuses in my household, and I don't accept them from our government either. We've got to work together to solve problems.
I want to move over to education, particularly something that Detroit Public School Community District Superintendent Nikolai Vitti told us on this program recently. And he pointed out the school buildings in Detroit are in such abysmal shape. He figures it's going to take $500 million to repair them. And if repairs aren't done, that cost is only going to balloon into the billions. But under the terms of the bailout plan approved by the state, the DPSCD can't borrow money, and the state allocated about $25 million for repairs. What kind of solution do you see to that $475 million gap?
Well, sadly, Detroit is not the only district where there are outdated buildings, dangerous conditions.
But most of those other districts can borrow, and Detroit's can't.
That's right. But yet, we still have to have, I think, a statewide plan that includes ensuring that Detroit is on the right footing to have buildings that are, you know, worthy of our children and promote strong learning and reversing the trend that we've seen in education in Michigan. It is on me as governor to write the plan, to work with the legislature to get it done, and the business community and parents and children across the state to make sure that we are building the schools that are worthy of our kids. And the Detroit Public Schools deserve a governor who's going to work with Dr. Vitti, with Mayor Duggan, with the business community and, you know, parents alike to make sure that we're meeting our kids' needs. And I'm determined to do that. We've been failing generations of kids in Michigan in education. We used to lead the world, and now we're in the bottom 10 in our country, and we're failing our children, and that's why education is the backbone of all of the platform that I've been running on and the work that I'm determined to accomplish as governor.
And how would a Whitmer administration deal with the struggling, low-performing schools, the ones with the bad test scores? I mean, we've seen that list of schools in danger of being closed. What would you do differently?
Well, I'll tell you what I wouldn't do. I wouldn't threaten to close down schools that don't meet our expectations. I would wrap them around with the supports they need so they can be successful. States that have turned around struggling districts are states that have made a greater investment, whether it is in our teachers and our parapros and the dedicated public servants who go into education, all the way to the foundation allowance for kids in high poverty districts, a weighted foundation allowance. but also ensuring that our young people have the wraparound services that they need. The philosophy in Lansing right now out of the Republicans is that if you're not reading by the end of third grade, you get punished by being held back. All the research in the world shows that's the worst thing that you can do for that student and that student's family. What we should be doing is having a no-excuses philosophy that we're going to wrap our students around. We're going to make sure every student is successful, not punishing when our system fails to meet their needs.
Lack of public transportation is one of the reasons Michigan lost its shot at the Amazon second headquarters. Although last week we see the opposition of Oakland County Executive L. Brooks Patterson and Macomb County Executive Mark Hackle killing any chance of letting voters this November decide the fate of the Regional Transit Authority, the RTA. How would you as governor lead in efforts to improve public transportation, not only Southeast Michigan, but throughout the state?
Well, I support the RTA. I voted in favor of, you know, letting the region move forward on it when we had the chance to vote on it in the legislature. It's something that is absolutely critical. You're right. When Amazon declined to keep Michigan in the top 20, they cited talent and they cited transit. You know, everyone, in order to get ahead, needs a good job, but you've got to be able to get to that job. And our lack of transit is hurting us, you know, in competition with the rest of the world, but it's hurting our ability for families to take care of themselves. And so I believe that once I fix the damn roads, that people like Mark Hackle can perhaps find their way to embracing a regional transit, because I know employers, whether they're in Macomb County or Oakland County or Wayne County, are relying on the workforce to get reliably, predictably to their jobs, and that this is something that is a great economic benefit for not just the families and the workforce that relies on it, but for the businesses who need that skilled workforce to get to work.
If you've just joined us, we're speaking with Democratic candidate Gretchen Whitmer, who is running for governor. Center for Public Integrity in 2015 ranked Michigan dead last in government accountability and transparency. And part of that F grade was based on the fact Michigan's governor and legislators are exempt from the Freedom of Information Act. What's your position?
I've always supported opening up the executive office and the legislative branch to FOIA, to the Open Meetings Act, to putting everything online so in an easily searchable way so that the press and the public can find out what the heck is going on with government. And that's something I remain committed to.
And on that subject of transparency, late yesterday, the group Build a Better Michigan, which is the nonprofit 527 group supporting you, released the report it had sent to the IRS revealing donors to the advertising campaign, $1.8 million. And it showed your father is one of the only Blue Cross Blue Shield affiliated donors to donate. And your donors are liberal groups and unions, nothing unusual. But your rivals have had months to press their narratives that you're accepting donations from corporations who want to maintain the status quo, particularly Blue Cross Blue Shield. Could your campaign, do you think, have done anything differently or earlier to counter that criticism?
You know, I have been running the only grassroots campaign of anyone running for governor. 84% of the people that have contributed to me reside within our state. 83% have contributed $100 or less. No one else on either side of the ballot can boast that fact. And that's what a real grassroots movement looks like. We collected petition signatures through volunteer army in all 83 counties. I'm really proud of the campaign that we run. This Build a Better Michigan is an outside organization. I'm glad that they released the information. I know that they've been doing everything by the book, and I am committed to doing that.
And is the campaign, the list of donors, is that coming out on the 27th, I believe, they're due? Is that coming out?
Yes. Absolutely.
All right. What do you think Democrats can do to win back Trump voters?
Well, you know, I've gotten around the state, and whether you are in rural Michigan or you are in urban Michigan, you're up north or you're in southeast Michigan, people are worried about the dinner table issues. They want to know that they have a way to get into a high-wage job, that when you turn on the water, it's going to be safe for your family to drink, that your schools are supporting your kids and putting them in a position to be successful in life, and yes, that they can travel the roads and get to their destination safely. These are the dinner table issues for people of all walks. And I know as I talked to a gentleman earlier today, he's a Trump voter. He's not happy with his options on the Republican side, and so he was interested in speaking with me, and he said, I like the fact that you want to fix the roads. You know, I think we find our common ground around those dinner table issues, and that's what I'm focused on fixing for people in this state.
Now, you have not yet announced a running mate, but you and your team, I'm sure, are looking at possibilities. Anything you might be able to share with us?
Nope. I've not made a decision yet, and I've got to win the primary first, and that's what I'm focused on.
What can you tell us about what you're looking for in your running mate?
Well, you know, I think that the worst case scenario where I don't survive the term, I want to know that there's someone who can step up and lead and be a good governor. And in the interim, hopefully that never happens, but I need a partner who is going to help me fix the problems that Michiganders are facing.
And if you do not win the nomination August 7th, do you have any reservations about endorsing whoever does win?
I'm a Democrat, and I think that the prospect of a Bill Schuette governor would set us back, incredibly far back as a state. And so I am going to support the Democratic nominee.
Gretchen Whitmer, thank you so much for spending time with us on Stateside.
Thank you, Cynthia.
As part of our series of interviews with the gubernatorial candidates, we invited Democrat Sri Tanadar to join us as well. Tanadar, however, did not respond to our request for an interview.